cultural control tactics to influence early season distribution of Lagus Larus.
Good morning. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Amanda Mann, program technician, researcher at with the Experiment Station, University of Arkansas Experiment Station in Jonesboro. She's also a graduate student at Arkansas State University. Ray Benson, county agent for Mississippi County. That's our biggest cotton-producing county in eastern Arkansas. He's also a PhD student at Arkansas State University. And Jeffrey Willers, he's a research entomologist down at Stoneville with ARS, and he's a geospatial guru. He's guiding us as we make the journey to start thinking spatially about our research and our work. We work in Mid-South Cotton. Actually, I'm in northeast Arkansas. I live on the east coast of Arkansas along the Mississippi River. So the delta is on both sides, just not just on the Mississippi side. So we also have delta in Arkansas. We're up in northeast Arkansas. Let's see. There we are. Depending on the acreage in the year, between 50 and 70% of the cotton acreage in Arkansas can be in these northern and northeastern counties. Excellent producers, but we have really variable soils, alluvial soils, lots of multiple soil textures within the same field. These are very the farmers that we have are large-scale farmers with a lot of specialized equipment. And one of the things that they're really interested in is using these investments that they've made in their equipment to increase the amount of precision agriculture they're doing and moving towards site-specific management. We've got a lot of activity in this area, but what they need are research-based guidelines as they make these changes from a whole field management to more site-specific management. So when we talk about site-specific management, it's a management of cotton at a spatial scale that's smaller than that of the whole field. And in these variable fields, we might have variations in patterns of crop development and yield potential that are associated with these different soil textures in these fields or irrigation patterns. And we may be able to divide these fields into smaller regions of homogeneous production potential we call management zones. So I'm interested, and I've been working on the past few years at field scale, looking at ways that we can move our IPM programs towards more site-specific management. So here's a few points on criteria for successful implementation of site-specific management. So we want to have within-field spatial variability, the existing factors that influence crop yield, and the causes of that variability can be identified and measured, and the information from those measurements can then be used to change management practices to increase profit or decrease environmental impact or both. So we can use scouting in this way. So if we use site-specific management, we're going to have to modify our scouting to take advantage of that too. I'm working primarily with tarnished plant bug, although we are doing some work with thrips in this area. Tarnished plant bug in the Mid-South is a full-season pest. It can cause economic damage at first square all the way up until cutout. Lose small squares, bowl damage, so it could be very much a problem. We spend a lot of money on tarnished plant bug in the Mid-South. So here's some examples of the ways I'm thinking about how we can use zone management with tarnished plant bug in northeast Arkansas, associated with management zones based on landscape-based risks, pest risk, how soil texture within the field might affect plant carrying capacity. I love the way the Australians use the word carrying capacity. And what we'll usually talk about yield potential, but carrying capacity, and this is a plant at this particular point on the earth, what the potential is for bow load and how environment affects that. So that particular point of carrying capacity affects the compensation capacity, when we were talking about flea hoppers from the last talk. So compensation makes a very complex issue, but I love it. It's great, isn't it? So, anyway, soil texture. And then irrigation. And we have center pivot irrigation systems in the Mid-South, and we do plant those dry land corners. And so there's variation associated with plants in the rain-fed corners versus under the pivot, and that may affect attractiveness, movement of the into, and movement out of the field by tarnished plant bugs. So just a little Google Earth image here to give you an example. This is a farm that I've had the privilege of working on for about almost 20 years now. It's a Wilde Family Farms in Manila, and there's their farm headquarters over here. It's a little plot that I've gotten to work on for many, many years. But so these are small plots, and I'm now moving what I've learned, my experience and knowledge on these small plots into their bigger fields. So just some examples of the landscaping within variables. Here's, look, rain-fed corners, irrigated corners. These are easy zones to imagine and use. Well documented. I've talked the last 3 or 4 years about irrigation management zones. Another example, soil texture. We've been working in this field since 2011. This is the soil EC map of that, looking at plant development, maturity, yield potential across different soil textures. And plant bugs are also associated with these different plants in these. This is a little bit harder to tease out, but presented a poster at this Beltwide on potential of using seed applications, in-furrow applications associated with these soil textures. And I think that we'll continue doing that work with soil texture zones. And then finally, this is a drainage ditch that runs across the middle of this farm. So it kind of looks like this. And this has always been associated with insects that might move from this ditch into the fields. So it's always been really clean. You can see these kinds of things. So you might use management zones associated with a landscape thing like this. In the old days, they used to make water sprays along this ditch for boll weevils, because this was a source of boll weevils on the farm. So today what I'm going to talk about is this approach of management zones that might be associated with these landscape-related pest risks, so a border zone approach. And for entomologists, this is a tool of choice, right? We would just spray along a border zone. This certainly in the boll weevil days, this worked very well. Have a known area where pests are moving into a field and makes insecticide sprays along that known risk area. But there are other tools in our tool belt, and that's where I'm talking about cultural control tactics. These are agronomic practices that reduce pest abundance and damage below which would have occurred if the practice had not been used. And I think we can expand our use of cultural control tactics in our overall IPM program. And I think it'll improve efficiency, reduce costs to our growers, and also reduce environmental impact. And this is the tool of choice for that approach. And we're already doing this. Whenever we choose, for example, BT cottons, we're making a management choice of cultural control or host plant resistance. But it's broadcast across the whole field. What if we use some other techniques with our seeding rates associated with our planting? Our modern planters can do these things on the fly, and our producers are looking for guidance on how to use these. I don't have one now, but starting this year, there are now planters that will plant two varieties or two seed types on the same run. So we need guidelines to our producers as they buy these planters and how we can take advantage of the equipment. So seeding rate. Let's think about what we know about Lygus linearis and its response to biomass in a field as it moves in. High seeding rates, you're typically going to see more Lygus linearis associated with that. How can we use that knowledge to our advantage as we put forward potential cultural control practices in a site-specific way? So we started an experiment in 2014. It was a new site for me. It was Manila. The city of Manila owns a big section of land where they have a little municipal airport, but they lease out the rest of this real prime cotton ground to farmers. And they allowed the University of Arkansas to move in and have a 35-acre research farm. So wanted large-scale research on that 35 acres. And so we started an experiment in 2014. This is part of Ray Benson's dissertation project, looking at seeding rate. That was the main question about seeding rate. but we added some more factors in this big experiment, cultivar and irrigation. So I was looking at three different seeding rates, resistant and a susceptible cultivar, and then we had thrown on top of that some irrigation timing. So it was a 3x2x3 factorial experiment. It's a large scale, 12 rows wide, 100 feet long, 10 foot alleys. There's the varieties that we use. I have a long history of working with the Stoneville 5288, which we've recognized as a resistant variety. Fred Borland has shown that to be resistant, and Glenn Studebaker has also done a lot of work. And Phytogen 375, which is a great variety if you keep the plant bugs out of it, but otherwise it's very susceptible. There's our three seeding rates, 1.5, 3, and 4.5 seeds per foot. 3 is what the University of Arkansas recommends. That's kind of what they look like. This is a soil at this site. It's a loamy sand. Here's my seeding rates. The interest in seeding rates, big differences in costs now with these. So our recommended rate for the seed for that particular year was $90 an acre, just for the seed. So just the range of seed costs with our three rates was almost $100 per acre. This is where the farmers are mostly interested in this project, looking at these seeding rates. But one thing about this field that I hadn't recognized when we started working there was a little a tree line across on one side, but I hadn't associated it with this big wildlife refuge that was just a couple of miles away. And this finger from the wildlife refuge that came down along our field was a nice avenue for movement of plant bugs. And so this was an opportunity, even though this is an agronomic experiment, there were some opportunities to look for plant bugs that I hadn't anticipated. So it made it really fun. That's what the plant bugs were doing. So initially, that first year, this was a farmer field, and it was under their control with the consultants, and I better hurry here. I'm getting out of time. But looking at, we had a movement of adults early season, and when adult plant bugs move into small, just starting to square cotton, and they feed on the terminal, and if the temperatures get cold, you can lose apical dominance in plants, and you'll have a tendency to have these crazy cotton plants. So we had crazy cotton throughout this whole field. We made an assessment across and looked at varieties and seeding rates on how this crazy cotton, where we'd lost terminal dominance. And it was expected. I thought I would have less loss of terminal dominance in my resistant versus the susceptible line, except in this high seeding rate, my hairy cotton, I had more damage than in the smooth leaf cotton. And I went and looked at the literature. John, your former colleague, and Benedict had shown that back in the 80s, a hairy cotton was very much more attractive to Ligus adults than smooth. So this kind of made sense. So here I was getting more bugs in associated with my densities and this resistant variety. But later on in the season, I had more Ligus nymphs associated with the susceptible line. So this was working out really well. By the time we finished all the evaluations, nothing was significant with yields. But this was of interest to the agronomists and farmers that the seeding rate made no difference. We repeated the study in 2015, and I made some additions with some help from Jeffrey Willers. We added not only that study, but we added a strip at the edge that had different seeding rates of my resistant lines at 1.5 and 6 seeds per foot, like a trap crop. And then we had some other strips, just the seeds, three seeds per foot with each of the susceptible and resistant lines. Very quickly, in 2016, I lost my phytogen, so we added another smooth leaf cotton, 5115. So that's the way these would look like with my high density and low density strips. Just as you would think from lots of other studies, I had more plant bugs associated with the high seeding rates versus low. Even when I didn't have very many plants, I still saw the high versus low numbers of plant bugs associated with high seeding rates. in my other strips, really couldn't differentiate. They started spraying the field, so I really lost numbers of bugs in there. But when it came down to yields, in 2015, we looked at the yield maps. What was important, I didn't see a response from the plant bugs, but these varieties, I had significantly higher yields associated with my resistant line versus the phytogen. That was in Ray's experiment. We saw the same kind of trend in 2016. In my strips, in my little bug border strips, I didn't see a difference in yield associated with seeding rate, even though where I had more bugs. I didn't either year, no difference. And these were very high yields associated on that 12 rows strip at the edge of the field. But when I went over in my strips on the edge, I did continue to see that difference between my susceptible and resistant lines, no matter where I was in the field. So susceptible resistance shows some difference. So part of IPM. Typical IPM, we want good varietal selection, host plant resistant. We're going to continue this project, and I have going to have a more formal experiment designed this year where we're going to look at the landscape risks and look at the potential for border management opportunities and maybe as a trap crop. I think there's great potential to use this equipment our farmers have already had to try to corral these insects and then control them where they are and maybe have some savings for our producers, not using broadcast sprays across the whole field, but keeping them on the border. Lots of acknowledgments, great farmers that we're working with, and great help with the geostatistics. Thank you very much. I've used up all my time.